Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Aman. And aman. Hallelujah.
Shalom, saints. What an amazing day in Yahweh. I'm just thankful that I made it to this day. I made it. The enemy always tries to do what he tries to do. But guess what? I'm always victorious. I'm always victorious. You're always victorious if you're in him. So I want to give him another opportunity to lead and guide me and direct me, and I'm sure you do too. We're talking about building our lives back, talking about rebuilding our lives in certain cases. It's called spiritual architecture and design for life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want any old body trying to design my life. If somebody's going to do it, I'd rather it be the one that created me in the first place. He knows. And so many times we try to do all this stuff ourselves, and we have to depend on him. And as we're finding in this study, which is relevant to your everyday walk. We're teaching stuff that you use on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Well, we are so good at being good on Sunday. You put on the rest of your church uniform. You put it on your religiosity and your churchianity. You know the right words to say. And then when you exit the doors, you go back to a foul lifestyle. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I know that's what we need his help. What are you doing Monday? What are you waking up to Tuesday? What kind of attitude you got on Wednesday? What kind of stuff's coming out of your mouth on Thursday? Did you even open up your word on Friday? Did you get down on your knees on Saturday? And then you want to do a crash course on Sunday. A crash course. We have to apply this every day of the week. And so this is what we're finding out. In many cases, some of us have built the wrong way. We've used the wrong materials in our life. The things that we were supposed to be using that the word told us to use, we ended up using inferior materials. We didn't follow the blueprint. We decided to do our own. And we've got disaster. We've got destruction. We've got anxiety, we're tripping, we're stressing. The word tells you let the Holy Spirit be your peace, and you asking the doctors for some pills so you can pop to get some peace. And if it's not prescribed, you go out and find something that you can get on the street. Instead of going to the Red Cross, the cross where salvation is, not the Red Cross World Cross, but the blood that was shed for you, you go to the Green Cross. Who don't know what the Green Cross is? Oh, mother, that's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about the Green Cross, mother. Don't worry about that. You good. If you don't know, just some stuff you just don't want to know. That's out there in the world. Just you don't want to know it. That's one of these things. So if we don't get this right, if we don't get the building process right, then we are putting a lot of things in jeopardy. And then we have a list of things that are in jeopardy if we don't get this right. The beauty is, even though you have messed up your life, even though you have been wretched and ratchet and all the messed up terminologies, you serve a God who, no matter what your situation is, he can turn it around, he can transform you, he can put you on a rock to stay, he can give you security, he can give you peace. And we gotta start holding on to that, because there is nothing in this world really to hold on to like that. I'm seeing so much destruction in the world. I'm seeing so much craziness in the world. Every day, there's some foolishness going on in the world. And the people that are supposed to be the leaders of the nation are supposed to show us what dignity is, are wallowing in the foolishness as well. So who do we look to? I'm so glad that I got a God that I can look to. I can look to him. So this is the list of things that are in jeopardy. The kingdom is at stake. Our lives are at stake. Our health is at stake. We don't get this right. Our families are at stake. Our church is at stake, because we make up the body of the church, the body of Mashiach, Yeshua. We are all members of that. And if the different members, if something's going on, it affects the whole body. I don't know about you, but when I have groped around in darkness and stumped my toe against a corner of a table or a chair, hasn't that ever happened to anybody? It took me to my knees. And it's a toe. It's one of the littlest things, but oh my God, it affects what? Whole body. So some of you all are the pinky toe of the body. And when you don't get it right, it has an effect on all of us. Tell your neighbor, you're important. Don't think that this dude up here is the most important one. He's not. I'm just a servant. I just serve. I'm just willing. I'm just available. But you're just as important. You make up the body. We all make it up. And so listen, if we're all trying to get through this list together, tell your neighbor, you're not by yourself. We all are trying to get this list right. You know, our church is at, our future is at stake, our destiny, our purpose is at stake, the knowledge foundation that we have is at stake, our mind and our thinking is at stake, our skills are at stake, our character, integrity are at stake, and our finances. Why do you have to go over this list every week that we get together? Because it's so important. You got so much to lose. We have so much to lose if we do not get this right. So I got to keep reminding you of the things that we... So let's go to Nehemiah, if you're a Hebrew scholar, Nehemiah. With the time that I have, I'm going to do the best I can to take you to some of the new things that we need to look into. But this is our wellspring scripture. This is where we have gotten this whole series from, because the children of Israel are like us. They were God's, Yahweh's chosen people. And, you know, they found themselves hard-headed and trying to do their own way, do their own thing. And then they kept bumping their heads. He kept bringing them out, and they kept allowing themselves to get put back in bondage again. Because of what? Do this. This is what has gotten you in trouble every moment in your life. Not your hand. Well, my foot walked me over there. No. You couldn't have walked over there had it not. All the bad decisions that you've made. You knew you wasn't supposed to get that car for 27% interest. But this is why we got to renew this thing. This thing gets us in trouble. And so this is what was happening to Yahweh's children. But the beauty is that we're his children. We've been grafted in by adoption, where now we are part of his family. And so we are considered his children. And so in that process, his children were once had everything, and then they lost it all. Then he restored them back to their place. And so Nehemiah was speaking of now this time that they've gotten back to their homeland. They've gone back to their city, Jerusalem. And so it's in the 17th verse of the second chapter, he says, "Then saith I to them, you see the distress that we are in." And why, Pastor Tom, why do you read the scripture every time we start? Because I got to remind you. Last week you was in some distresses. This week you got some new distresses trying to come. Each week there's a new distress trying to come on the scenes, trying to derail you, trying to take you away from what you know to be true. So that's why we got to keep hitting this. And so it says, "Then I said unto him, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem, our city, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach, that we be no more disgraced." Because we're not supposed to be living like this. When we say we are children of the Most High, our life should reflect that we are children of the Most High. There was a news thing out, you might have missed it, but it was an actor, a Spanish actor on a program, and he punched out. He was at a red carpet event, and he punched out a reporter that asked him the question. Not punched. He slapped him. Does anybody know? Did anybody hear that story last? Okay. He slapped him. And the reason why he slapped him was because, I guess a few weeks before, the actor's son needed to fix his car. And to fix his car, he put up a GoFundMe account so that reporter simply asked the actor on the red carpet, but that was the only opportunity that he had to ask the question. Why is it that your son has a GoFundMe account to fix his car and you his daddy, he could have just went to you? And the actor, "How dare you?" But regardless of how disgraced he was, wasn't it a true state? I mean, if you're supposed to be this great and you got all this fancy stuff and you on the red carpet and you got all this money and you just stepped out of a limousine, why is your son? But in our case, it's our fault. We the ones. We children of the Most High God. In his house are many mansions. And he makes it available to us. But then we get in our own mind and we looking raggedy. And we supposed to be representing the Most High God. Say this. Say, "My father is rich. In houses and land. He holds the power of the world in his hand. And he loves me. And he calls me his child. I want for nothing. All I have to do is serve him." then why aren't you serving him? Why aren't you acknowledging him in everything? So now we have these children that are looking raggedy. They serve, they got broke down walls. They got burnt up gates. And look at you. Well, look at us. So you don't feel so bad. I'm including myself in that number. Look at our walls are torn down and raggedy. But it says, there's hope. He says, let us build up the walls that we be no more a reproach. And then go to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, the sixth verse. And so we've got this city, which is a representation of our salvation. The walls signify protection. The gates signify entrances and opportunities. And that's all burnt down. But Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse says, so we built the wall. And the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. How did that happen? How did they do something in 52 days that they couldn't get right in 70 years? They tried for 70 years to get it right, couldn't get it right. But then they got it right in 52 days. It says, because the people had a mind. How long you been living? Thirty, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I'm gonna stop right there. But how successful have you been doing it by yourself? And I'm not counting success as you having money or a house and mansion and I'm rolling. No. We find that don't mean nothing. I don't care what kind of car you driving. I don't care what street you live on. If your life don't have no peace, you don't have no peace of mind, you don't have your salvation right, you ain't got nothing. You just ain't got nothing. How many millionaires do we have jumping off of buildings and shooting themselves and they got everything. And you say, if I had all that, let me tell y'all something. More money, more problems. More money, more people. You think people are asking you for some stuff now? More money, more issues. That's if you serve. Now, I'm not saying that y'all don't want you to be prosperous, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. But if you seek the money first, you get the problems that come with the money. Sad stories. People that won the lottery. Most people that win the lottery, I would say, give me a percentage of people that win lottery, that lose it all. Throw it out. 85%. Somebody just Googled it. All right, Lane. 85%. Wow. They don't know what to do with it. All the problems that come with that. Somebody said, you give it to me. I pay tithes on it. Come on, y'all. You say that. That remains to be seen. What'd you say, Apostle? Somebody said, you don't pay tithes on what you got, so what are you talking about in the lottery? We put so much stock in that. But the people had a mind to rebuild. This is a spiritual rebuilding, building up spiritually. Back again. So this is our opportunity to redo this. So here we are, and this city is about to be rebuilt. And so there are all the walls encompass the city, which shows protection, which shows territory, which represents that. Your salvation shows protection. It shows that you got territory in the kingdom. The gates show that there are entrances, things that we need to let in our life. The gates signify things we need to let out of our lives. The gates signify opportunities. So our question, that when we look at the gates that they had to rebuild, they named every gate. Every gate had a significance. So in your life, are you acknowledging the different gates that were surrounding the city? It means something. Say everything means something. If in the book of Nehemiah, he had just told us, yeah, they just rebuilt the gates and they rebuilt the walls and they just moved on. But he didn't. He specifically talked about each gate that was being built. Each gate was given a name. And specific people built each gate. And so I looked at that, and they were in a specific order. Say, we serve a God of order. So the reason why we don't get stuff right is because we keep on, we just want to cherry pick the word. I only want the good stuff. You grocery shopping. I don't want that. No, no. When we serve Yahweh, we got to take this whole thing. And one of the best things that you can do in your lifetime is read this word from cover to cover. How many people have read from Genesis all the way to Revelation? In succession. Let me help you. I'm not talking about you people who say, well, by the time all these years, I done got through the whole thing. Because all the scriptures I've been told to read, no. I'm not talking about you was in Matthew and then you jumped over to Exodus and then. Some of y'all ain't never been in Obadiah. Somebody had never cracked the page of Zephaniah. And you've never even read it. You haven't even read all the begats, the begattens, because you skip over that stuff. So again, I ask the question, who in succession has read the word from cover to cover? All right. Okay. That's more like it. It was like, by the time I've been saved for 20 years, so I'm sure I've read the whole thing. No, you have said, I'm going to read this all the way through. You got to do that. You read all these other books all the way through. The best novels. The self-help. If Oprah got a book, have you read, and you spreading the word. Have you read Oprah's book? But how many times have you said, hey, have you read the word? Ooh, did you see what he was saying in Zephaniah? Zephaniah. Who's read the book of Nicodemus? There ain't no book of Nicodemus. See, that's what I'm talking about. I said, who read Nicodemus? There ain't even no Nicodemus in the Bible. A book of Nicodemus. That's your problem. You've been in the book of Nicodemus. I have to shake you guys' cages and chains a little bit. I have to do it. It gets you to thinking. We got to do this thing right. We put so much stuff in worldly things, but we've got so much wisdom and knowledge in this word that Yahweh has given us that has endured thousands and thousands of years and is still working today. It's still moving today. It's still transforming lives today. So when I saw that they took the time to describe each and every gate, I said, I got to study this. So the 10 gates in order are the sheep gate, the fish gate. I think I have a list there too. The sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, and the Mahai gate. Sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, valley gate, dung gate, fountain gate, water gate, horse gate, east gate. Each gate had a purpose. And if we're talking, if we're using the walls as an analogy for our life, then we have to use the gates as well. You have to say the gates have a meaning that speak to different aspects of our salvation. And our purpose is that we know the significance of each gate, what is speaking to us, and if we receive what that gate is saying. And if you're not receiving what a certain gate is saying, then you got some issues in your building process. You're not building correctly. Because we've got to build it. They had a architecture. They had a way. They had something that they had to follow to make sure that these gates were done correctly. So let's go to Nehemiah, the third chapter, the first verse. And you just answer your own questions. You look in the word here and say, am I living that? It's just that simple. Am I receiving that? So, Nehemiah, the third chapter, or Nehemiah, the third chapter, the first verse says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up, and his brethren, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up doors of it. Even unto the Tower of May, they sanctified it unto the Tower of Hananiah. The sheep gate. The very first gate that's mentioned. The only gate where a high priest was involved in building it. Only one gate. The first gate, the sheep gate, had a high priest building it. And not only did the high priest build it, but the high priest sanctified it. It's the only gate that has been sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Set apart. Are you exhibiting a set apart life? Are you exhibiting that your sheep that follows the lamb that was slain? Only one gate. Go to Yohanan, John, and keep your finger in Nehemiah, the third chapter. But go to Yohanan, the first chapter, the 29. So the gate, the sheep gate, was where they brought the animals in for sacrifice. Sacrifice. Say sacrifice. Sacrifice. Say it again. Sacrifice. What's sacrifice mean to you? Give up. Yield. To get salvation, Yeshua had to sacrifice his life. For you. Yahweh gave his only begotten son. Say for me. You personally, you say for me. Why did he have to do that? Why did he have to sacrifice? So that you could obtain eternal life. And this tells us, John 1:29, the next day, Yohanan, he saw Yeshua coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which what? Take it away. There's only one sheep gate. There's only one lamb that was slain for you. There's only one worthy. There's only one sanctified, and in his name, Yeshua HaMashiach means the anointed one. Yeshua, the anointed one. And this was the only gate that was anointed, which tells us there's not a whole lot of different ways to Yahweh's kingdom. There's only one way. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yeshua says, you got to come by me first. You Oprahites. There's many ways. Oh, how does it? There are many ways. Isn't that what she says? Isn't that how your girl talk? Oh, there are many ways to salvation. I don't understand how you Christians can say that there's only one way. I don't care if you don't understand, Oprah. The word of Yahweh says there's only one way to Yahweh, and you got to go through Yeshua. That's what he said. And I don't care how many different ways you want to try to figure it out. It doesn't make sense. There's more than one way to Chicago. We ain't talking about Chicago, baby girl. I'm talking about Chicago. We're talking about to eternal life. We're talking to the kingdom of Yahweh. There's only one kingdom of Yahweh, and there's only one way, and there's only one gate that enters into that. Deep gate. Go to Yohanan 10. Don't do a lot of flipping. It's just go to the 10th chapter. And the 9th verse. And he says, I am. I love when Yeshua says, I am. I love when he was telling Mary, we will see him. We will see Lazarus at the resurrection. And Yeshua told her, I am the resurrection. Ooh, when I read that, it just sends Holy Ghost chills up in the back of my neck. Because I'm thinking like, he's talking to us. And he's like, I am. He is the way, the truth, and the light. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the way. And then when we see here, he says, I am the door. I'm the gate, I'm the door, I'm the entrance by me. If any man or woman enter in, he shall be saved. And not only that, they're going to be saved and they'll be able to go in and out. Nothing can block them. Nothing can stop them. They can enter in to my kingdom, in and out, receive the blessings and receive pasture. Are you understanding? Do you have that dynamic going on in your life that you acknowledge Yeshua is the only way? Because we got a lot of believers that still pat other folk on the back and say, yeah, you know, you go by Buddha. Yeah, you go by Krishna. And we all, and I go by Yeshua. No, I go by Jesus. And we all going in. No, sorry, Krishna. I'm sorry, Buddha. I'm sorry, Muhammad. I forgot Muhammad. How dare I? All right, Muhammad. Sorry, Muhammad. But there's only one way, and that is Yeshua Mashiach. The word says it. Listen, it's not about how I feel about it. It's what the word says. I'm not creating no new doctrine. That's what he told us. He said, don't take away from my word and don't add to my word. Are you demonstrated? And if you're not convinced yet, go to Matityahu. 7th chapter, 13th verse. And again, red letters. Yeshua saying this. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. What does that mean? All them different ways, the way of Krishna, the way of Buddha, the way of Muhammad is broad ways. But that's not fair. It shouldn't be that there's only one God. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, baby girl. But the word of Yahweh says there's only one way. There's only one straight gate that leads to Yahweh, and the rest is broad. And the broad way leads to. And it says, guess what? It's a very popular gate. It's extremely popular. It's the most popular gate. Most people go to the broad gate. And with that broad gate comes broad thinking. With that broad gate comes a lot of a compromise. The broad gate is an easy gate. Ooh, there ain't no qualifications. You just step on up. I can see somebody at the gate, that demon. Step on up. Step on up. Yes, you can have anything you want. You can do it any way you want to do it. You can do it how you want to do it. And if you come here, hey, don't you see how everybody's come on? Step on up. Then there must be something going on, because everybody is at this gate. Beatrice, everybody at this gate. Why you think everybody's at that gate? When we see a crowd, it's got to be going on. I mean, everybody here, it's got to be on point. I mean, when you go to a club and ain't nobody in it, you be like, oh, no. Oh, there ain't nothing going on here. I gotta go where it's popping. And that way, it's popping. Ooh, it's popping. They got all the right music. They got all the right moves. They say the right things. They got disco lights going on. If everybody's there, it must be the place to be. And it says, the word says, absolutely. Many there be. Which go in there at. Oh, but that straight gate. It's only got a few people. Only a few people stand at that gate. And then the people at the broad gate say, look at them. They over there and ain't nothing going on. Ain't nobody over there. This is where it's happening. But blessed be those who go in at the straight gate. Y'all got any straight gators in the house? It's a humble gate. It's a serving gate. It's a word gate. It's a sacrifice. It's a righteous gate. It's the one gate. It's the true gate. And he says, enter in at this. He said, let me give you a clue. This is the gate right here. Enter in here. Don't trip at that other gate, that carnival barker over there talking about that's the way. Talking loud and boisterous and acting a fool. Putting on a show. Are there broad gates in the church world? Oh, absolutely. Listen, you believers better be careful which gates that you're walking into. That calls itself, everything that calls itself a church ain't a church. Everything that calls itself a church ain't serving truth. I'm not saying that we the only church. But what I'm saying is you better find the church that is giving you the unadulterated word of Yahweh, that's not adding stuff in and taking stuff out. Okay. I spent some time on the game, sorry, but go fish gate. Give me the picture of the city of the gates. So this is where I left off. See, look, first verse, third verse, sixth verse, 13th verse, 13th verse, 15th verse, 26, 28, 29, 30. There's an order. And each gate starts and goes in succession around the kingdom. And you telling me there ain't no order to that? What's the next gate? The fish gate. Go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse. This is the gate where they had to bring all the fish from the Mediterranean Sea. Fish came through this gate. Sometimes in the world we have things that are expositional constants. When you see something in the word, like the olive tree, and that signifies what? The anointing. When you see fish, it usually signifies what? Souls, people, service. So go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, 18th verse. You got to say, I got it. And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Kepha, and Simon called Kepha and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were what? Searching, looking. 19th verse. And he says unto them, follow me. See, salvation comes first. Now he's like, if you follow me, you think you out there getting fish? I got a greater purpose for you. I got something more awesome that you can ever imagine. Follow me and I will make you what? I'm going to give you something that the world needs. And if you present them with that, you think you caught before? Ooh. Tell your neighbor, you ain't seen nothing yet. The fish gate signifies service and understanding that we're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. Say it. I'm saved to serve. I'll make you fishers of men. And the 20 verse says, 20 verse says what? Hold up. Wait. How are you going to just drop everything? Let me say that again. These dudes were making money. They were fishing. And he says, leave that alone. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You ain't seen the catch. You ain't seen no catch yet. And straightway means immediately. How many of you are immediately dropping everything and following him and allow him to be the source of the everything that you just dropped? See, if you do it yourself, you gotta toil and figure it out. But if you follow him, he's the one that'll fix it. He's the one that'll make a way. He's the one that'll show you. He's the one that will provide it. And not only this, Yeshua was a rabbi. And these dudes were following. These dudes were like 15, 16, 17 years old. They were young. And usually at that time, you're supposed to be following a rabbi. But if you weren't good enough to the church, to the religious standards of the day, they didn't choose you. The rabbi was like, you're not going with me. I think that you should go work for your family and turn and be a fisherman or a carpenter. You can't do nothing for me. The rabbi told him, like, I'm not picking you. I'm only picking the cream of the crop. You couldn't remember everything good enough. You didn't have the letter of the Torah good enough. As far as we're concerned. So therefore, you're no use to us. So you go on and find a regular job. So these guys were rabbi rejects. They were. But here comes Yeshua. A rabbi. And Yeshua said, basically in his statement, I know all these rabbis didn't see nothing in you. All these rabbis cast you to the side. But I'm telling you right now, if you drop those nets and follow me, I'm going to show you a way. I'm going to show you victory. How many of you have been rejected by the world's standard? But yet, Yahweh stepped into your life and he said, I see something in bro. I see something in sis. I got a job for them. I got a purpose for them. All they got to do is drop everything and follow me. So I'm asking, are you at the fish gate? Are you one of the ones that will follow him regardless? Do you have that submission in you? Do you have that service in you? Speaks to you. Speaks to us. The fish gate. The gate of service. The gate of submission. The gate of saying, oh, everybody didn't see nothing in me, but I got to serve a God that sees all of the quality that I have, and he wants me to work for him. He wants me to serve him. My God. And regardless of where I've been and what I've done, regardless of the things that I've said and the ways I've acted out, he still loves me and he still has made a way to transform my life. Do you see what has happened at the sheep gate in your life? Do you receive what has happened at the fish gate in your life? I got to leave you with this. Go to Luke, the 5th chapter. You going to take him at his word? He said, I'm going to show you something. Show you what I can do. Luke, the 5th chapter, 4th verse. And now he had left speaking. He said unto Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep. Now they had already been fishing in the previous verses. They fished all night long. And they didn't catch nothing. And they were just cleaning their nets. They were depressed. They were all downtrodden. And then Yeshua said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draw or a catch. We did it our way. We previously did it. We did it our way. And now you're telling us, go back. At first, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled overnight and have taken nothing. Nevertheless. 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 At thy word, I will. Let I did it my way. I did what I thought was right. I did what I felt, and nothing came of it. And you're telling me to go back out there and do it your way. Nevertheless. Are you a believer that says nevertheless? I live my life my way. I made my own decisions. I did it. He says, do it my way. Your answer should be nevertheless. At thy word, I will let down the net. I will follow your instructions. I will listen to what you tell me to do. I will seek your word first. I will. Do we have any believers that just will let the logic go and say, I will? It don't make no sense. I will. I don't understand. Nevertheless, I will. I will. Just say it. I will.
I will.
Nevertheless, I will.
I will.
Just let it out.
I will.
At your word. I will.
At your word.
I will.
At your word.
I will.
At your word.
I will. Father, Abba, we know what happened after this. Caught so many fish that their boats could not contain it. At your word. At your word. Victory came. At your word. Triumph came. Our desire is to build properly, rebuild properly. We want to have the heart of the sheep gate. We want to have the heart of the fish gate. In our lives. Maybe we haven't had that heart before. A heart that just says, we'll drop it all and follow you. We'll depend on you for the things that we've been toiling all night for. And if we follow you, we don't have to toil all night. All we have to do is just do your word. Speak your word. And you'll manifest. Help us. Understand. Help our hearts. Help our minds. In Yeshua's mighty name. Aman. Keep your hip out. Keep your hip out. There will be those that are saying, listen.